boy Pete Walsh, aka Pull Up Petey, episode 23 of the Respect the Game podcast. I'm here with my boy Abe Schwadron. Abe, what's good, bro?
AKA recently verified on Twitter, boys.
Oh, that's a big step in your career.
I mean, I'd like to think so.
Has life,
people Abe, know it's really me now. It's not an imposter.
Well, Abe couldn't wait to flex on me when that happened to him. He texted me immediately. Your boy just got verified
on
Twitter.
You know what's the craziest part about that is I was a little bit hype about it, and then I walked in the office, and Adam Figman was like, wait, I just got verified too. Meanwhile, I went through this whole process of emailing Twitter, sent them like multiple links to my work and stuff, and Adam, it just happened automatically.
I mean,
this guy, man. He leaves the podcast and just moving up in the world.
I'm still yet to respond to that text, by the way. Has your life improved at all, or is it exactly
the
same?
Oh, you mean the text that I sent you, you never even replied?
No. Nah.
What a dick.
But yeah, today we got a very special guest, rapper, writer, journalist,
slam contributor.
I'm sure I'm forgetting a few things. Brooklyn's own Sky Zoo. Sky, what up?
Yeah. What's up?
Chilling, man. So, Sky and I actually went to the Nuggets Knicks game at the Garden last season. Mm-hmm. He was doing a story on Emmanuel Mudiay for the mag, and I mean, I gotta say, I was trying to rack my brain. You must be the first rapper to ever get a press credential to actually do a story.
Yeah, right? To actually do the story?
Yeah.
Oh, man, they be curving y'all? That's crazy.
No, I think you're the first that's ever, like,
oh, okay.
Actually
explore. I thought people would agree to do it and then not do it, just go to the game.
I mean, that has definitely happened. I mean, I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
No, I'm honored and super appreciative of the opportunity from all you guys up here, man. I've been a fan forever. You know, I walk around and I look at the covers, and the recent ones, of course, but the ones from 20 years ago, 20-plus years ago, and I'm like, yo, I was in seventh grade when I had that. I was in this class. I remember reading this, and I remember doing the penny move the next day after I saw it on the cover. You know, like, all those memories come back, man. Slam has and always will be a staple, you know, where I'm from. So it's huge to be in this environment with you guys, and it was super, super dope to pin that piece on Mudiay. Shout out to the boy Mudiay for sure. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, it was super dope doing that, man, and more to come, you know?
Yeah, well, thank you for the kind words, man.
Absolutely.
That's very much appreciated.
I got to say, just you mentioning, like, being in class and reading Slam, I don't know if I've said this before in the podcast, but I used to literally, like, I would pretty much, like, read through a whole Slam issue. Then I would go back and tear out all the pages and three hole punch them and put them in my binder at school. So
it looked like
I'm taking notes, but I'm really just leafing through like
that's
a three
dope.
Hole punched
that's
version
dope.
Of the magazine.
Dag, man, that's a cool idea.
Damn, hopefully you're giving these young kids something to,
I'm just saying, a little tip for
something
everyone
to aspire
out there.
Right?
I mean, Sky's just up here. He's going to shoot the shit with us about some big stories going on, get his thoughts. Sky, obviously a huge basketball fan. He came up here rocking all Knicks gear, so
yeah,
he's
you know,
rocking
I'm Knicks
King
tape.
Jersey.
Yeah, you know I'm Knicks tape, man. You know I'm Knicks tape for better and worse. So yeah, we can get into all that.
But before we jump into anything, just want to say, you know, we're hit with some sad news this week with the passing of Shorty Lowe.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, an Atlanta staple, someone, an influential guy in Atlanta and on the rap scene as a whole. Dano probably still, you know, one of the all-time bangers, still rings out everywhere you
absolutely.
Go. Absolutely. So, yeah, I don't know. Did you have any interaction with him ever?
I didn't. But as someone who's in the same, you know, line of work as he was, you know, it definitely hits home. Whenever you see something like that, you always feel like it's one of your coworkers, it's one of your peers, whether you met them or not or in the same lane, you know, when you're in the same field, just because you aren't rubbing shoulders, you still feel that. It's like, oh, man, you know, that's one of ours. It's like if a cop passes, another cop's going to feel it, even if it's in a different city, you know? So rest in peace to Shorty Lowe, man, for real. You know, it's been a tough year with that type of, you know, with those type of losses from him to, you know, other singers and rappers throughout the year. It's been a wild year, man. So rest in peace one time for Shorty Lowe. Bump that They Know and all them records that he got for sure. They definitely tear up your trunk. Word up.
I mean, all DJs should have that in rotation.
Absolutely.
This weekend, that goes without
He got
saying.
A bunch of those, too. He got a bunch of those records, so word up.
It was a nice opportunity yesterday to educate some of our younger coworkers and interns about, you know, his bangers. So.
Yeah. It was unfortunate to, you know, for an event like that to happen to go back and, like, dig through his catalog a little bit. Right. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, thanks for all the great music, man.
And yeah. I used to have I think the Jeezy verse of They Know was my ringtone in college for a solid like semester.
And that was like, that was one of those beats where like, that was one of those, like, it's kind of like, ooh, is that, I can't even say it without like doing, yeah, I can't even say it without doing the voice. Like, everybody hopped on that beat.
Definitely. Yeah. I think one of my favorite flips of that beat, it was a little later. It wasn't right when the record was popular. It was like a couple years later. But it was Sean Price. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously my bro Sean Price, R.I.P. Sean P for sure. When he jumped on that, and you know, he kind of did a little parody. You know, Sean was a jokester. And he was on there like, I like fried taters. Like, it was hysterical. If you go on YouTube and put
pork chops and applesauce?
Yep, there it is. Yeah, yeah. Go look that up on YouTube and all that. Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff, man. But shout to P, of course, and shout to Shorty Low one time for real.
All right, so, I mean, Sky's here. We got to talk some hoops, obviously. We know we don't have to dance around it. You know your ball. So, I mean, we're still kind of in this weird, like, summer period here where – well, it's not really summer anymore, and media days are coming up. Training camp's going to start, thank God, because we've just been waiting for stuff to start.
I mean,
like, how many stories can just be about guys' tweets and Instagrams and
single
quotes they give here and there?
Right.
I mean, first off, we got to give a shout-out to Lance Stephenson for finally latching onto a team. I know we talked about him a lot this summer, but he's a New York dude, so what was your thoughts on him kind of latching on with the Pelicans?
Well, first off, I'm glad he's situated. You know, he's somebody who definitely deserves to play, you know, on the highest level because of his talent. And when you look at the other guys around who may be in the league and you're like, well, they not nowhere half as nice as Lance, you know? So you're talking about a guy who's playground legend, New York City high school basketball legend, you know, college career, had ups and downs. Got busy in the league when he got here. What was that, his second year with Indiana and all that? You know, really, really got busy and was looked at as that guy. I'm glad he got his money, too. I'm glad he got that money from Charlotte and, you know, everywhere else that it took him. But I'm super surprised that Memphis didn't latch on with all the injuries they had. I mean, I think Memphis suited up 30 people, they said, last year.
He played well for them.
He really did.
And he got busy. Yeah. Averaged, like, 13-5. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? He was a glue guy, and he really matured for those months that he was there. And I was super surprised that they didn't pick him up with, you know, with that roster and how thin it was. But I think they gave all the money to Mike Conley. You know, so they might not have had
Parsons,
the change to give to him. You know, so, but, you know, I'm happy he got picked up. You know, obviously, anytime there's a free agent, I think about would he work on the Knicks? Because I'm a Knicks guy. You know, I bleed blue and orange. Anybody that comes, they could be like, Abe and Petey is free agent. I'm like, oh, do they work? Let me see. We can pay. He played a three. He got a jumper. You know, that's what we do. You know, that's how I move. So whenever I hear about a free agent off rip, I think about would they work on the Knicks, yes or no. And with Lance, you know, I saw it. I saw where the fit could work at. Obviously, you would need a lot of fill there to do kind of what he did with Meta back in the day, you know, Rodman, you know, just really overseeing that and, you know, puppeteering that and being like, all right, I know this is who you are, but calm down, read this, relax with that, you know, whatever it may have been. And I'm not even a super Phil guy. Everybody know that. As much of a Nick guy as I am, I'm not a Phil guy at all. Okay. But I felt like if he came here, that would have been the only way to really justify it, to be like, all right, you know, Phil can kind of groom that situation because Lance is from here, and if you put him right back at the crib, it's going to be a different situation, you know. But that's all, you know, hindsight and hypothetical. Being that he's in New Orleans, I think it'll work. You know, there's a hole there, you know, obviously with Tyreek Evans being down, and he's still coming back from everything. And
Drew Holiday gone.
Yeah, Drew Holiday with his family situation. Hope that works out. And, you know, so he'll definitely get his burn. As long as there's some type of, I guess, kind of leadership of some sort. I wish Monty Williams was still there.
Hmm. Yo, you know what, man? I was thinking about that.
To help with that, you know?
I mean, obviously, he had his tragedy happen last
year.
And, you know. But whatever. Outside of that, like, I didn't think it was right that he got fired. Like, he led them to the playoffs.
Right.
You know, they were on their way up. And then, you know, they axed him after they made the eighth seed, and it just never made sense to me.
You know what? That's like one of those things that's kind of like the fucked up thing about like snarky basketball Twitter is like he was catching so much shit that whole year, and everyone assumed that he was going to be gone. And now, like, you know, whatever, a couple years later, now everyone is like, I don't know. I just feel like it's when Monty it's convenient.
Williams, Monty Williams deserves a job.
Yeah, like when it's when it's convenient to be nice to someone, you're nice to someone.
Everything is hindsight.
And when it's funny to make fun of them, you make fun of them.
No, you kill them. Yeah.
And but, like they generally had the same roster last year and were trash. Like, I mean,
and you know what it is? I think the expectations on them were so through the roof.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody was saying, "Oh, if the MVP award is Anthony Davis is to lose."
And yeah, we like, said whoa, that. Whoa. Slam definitely put that in print. As
I remember reading and hearing people and like, "Whoa, you might want to slow down," you know. And he's super dope. You know, Anthony Davis is super dope. But I knew it was a little too soon. It was what his maybe third year in the league, if I'm not mistaken. I'm like, it might be a little too soon to give him all that right away. I think, you know, the check had a lot to do with it, you know, the contract that he got. Obviously, the lack of big men with his skill set. But from last season, from the season before to last season, the play of the big man has changed even more.
Right.
It seems like every season it changes, it gets more and more like a guard, you know. So that season where he cooked right before he got paid, the season following that, it's like, okay, now you're expected to shoot more. Now you're expected to do this more, do that more. You know, so it's changing more and more. It's a different game as far as big men. But I still think he's super dope. You know, I take him right now in a heartbeat. Super dope. Who else is over there? They got
Shaq Diallo.
Okay.
He's a rookie. our man's.
They got my man, Buddy Hill.
Buddy Hill.
I'm a super Buddy Hill fan. I hope he cook for them, boy. I'm a super Buddy Hill fan.
Langston Galloway.
Oh, yeah. Langston went over there.
I don't know. I mean,
a lot of Pelicans talk on this podcast recently, by the way.
Yeah.
Big Pelicans fans over here. I mean, they're probably not going to win a lot of games, but they'll be like, I don't know. AD makes them worth watching. But the big thing now is like, all right, is Anthony Davis even going to be the best big man in the league at the end of the season now that Karl Anthony Towns has emerged?
Yeah.
You know, and Boogie's coming
and Boogie,
on, too.
Yeah, like everybody jumped on Anthony Davis, like crowning him as the next big thing in the league. But Karl Anthony Towns, who, you know, obviously I'm hyping up our cover a little bit because
Slam 202 on new stands right now.
Go
but
get it.
I mean, he looks like he might be Davis, you know, at the next level on steroids.
Oh,
so.
He's... When I put this hybrid together, people are going to jump on it and be like, oh, that's a lot. That's a tall task to give him. But he's Kevin Garnett meets Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean he's, you know, it's not like you're saying Jay-Z, Eminem, like all of that in one. It's saying those are the elements. It's like you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You see flashes of Tim Duncan where you see the fundamentals. You see the team over the individual effort. You see where he approaches the game from. And then on the flip side, you do see a little flash. You'll see him jump up and tomahawk and yam it on somebody. Or you'll see him up and under. You got one of the pictures in an older issue where he's up and under on the Knicks and he looked like a small forward, you know. So he has those moments where there is some flash like a KG, and then there's those moments where it's like a Tim Duncan thing. And I think he's absolutely awesome, man. I think, I mean, I don't really see much going wrong with his career, knock on wood. He's absolutely awesome, man. It's crazy, too, at the Jordan Brand Classic, I guess when he was in high school.
It's only 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Which is insane.
Was it that long ago? Well, it was even sooner. That's crazy, man. I was hanging out with him because I did some studio stuff for Brand Jordan. They set up a studio. They built a studio or whatever.
Go ahead and stunt, man. Come on.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, they Brand Jordan built a studio at the hotel for the Brand Jordan athletes. And, you know, they wanted me to come in. They said, yo, we want you to come in and show them what it's really like. They all think they could rap. We want you to show them what it's really like. So me and my man Torrey went down there, and we wrote a song on the spot and recorded it. And they all watched. The booth was made out of glass, so they watched the whole thing. It was like, whoa, you know, and the locks was down there. And it was a super dope time. Moral of the story, me and Kat got real cool that day. You know, we started talking a lot. He told me he was from Jersey. And, you know, I don't really follow high school ball like that. I'm more so when they get to the league. Like, I follow college a little bit, but I just feel like they run through the turnstile so quick.
Yeah.
It's a revolving door. So I'm like, man, I can't even get the – really become a fan of you in school because you out in 6 months, you know. So I just kind of wait for them to get to the league. I follow teams, Syracuse, of course, and, you know, a couple other guys. But moral of the story, you know, I didn't really know who he was. And he was walking around, you know, in the lobby, and we was hanging out, kicking it, and talked about being from Jersey and the whole thing. He was just really cool. You know, he was really, really dope. And I hadn't even seen him play yet. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, this kid is real cool. And he was real humble and laid back.
Oh, my God. He's the nicest dude ever.
Yeah. And then when they got on the court, I remember him cooking, and I remember Moutier cooking all day.
Well, the crazy thing looking back in that class is he was kind of the he was kind of the outlier. Was the big thing was who's gonna be better, Cliff Alexander or Ja Okafor?
Because I was kicking it with Cliff Alexander too, and the light was definitely on him. Yeah. I remember that, and Jahlil Okafor too, but the light was definitely on Cliff. You know, and he was mega cool too. They all was good, man. Nobody had a pompous attitude. They all was real cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the light was definitely on Cliff Alexander, and Karl Anthony Towns was in the cut. You know, that's how we got the rap so hard. We was just kicking it. You know, just bullshitting and talking about New York versus Jersey and the differences and him coming up, and I asked him what school he was going to. We was just rapping.
Right.
And but yeah, he definitely was in the cut. You might have thought he was a seventh, eighth guy on the bench, you know, but when I saw the game, I was like, oh, that's Duke from yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, he get busy. You know? That's Duke from yesterday in the lobby. And then, right. You know, you saw where his career went and everything. I think he's having a marvelous career, man. He deserved everything that come to him. Good kid, good upbringing, family. Got game. I love the fact that it's a merge of the two. It's not solely, you know, a piece of bread, like a bread and water game where it's like, ah, like I was never a Tim Duncan fan because of that. I respect the hell out of Tim Duncan, but I hated the bread and water game. Right. It was like, you hungry, here's flesh. Some bread and water.
Yeah.
It's like, man, do something.
Eat some steak.
A little gravy, something. Put some butter. You know, you got no peanut butter, you know? But I hated that aspect of his game as much as I respect and you know, applaud Tim Duncan for what he did. I hated that aspect of his game. But I love the way Karl Anthony Towns has a little bit of that, but then he got a little bit of flash. I love all that. And I think with KG being there, you know, he's definitely – I think he's going to retire, as he should.
Yeah, I was about to say, that kind of leads into the next thing we're going to talk about, which is,
oh, yeah, we might have
which is the Garnett situation.
Yeah,
I mean, by the time you hear this, we could know more.
That
but
might
obviously,
be, yeah.
Looks like a buyout is coming.
I mean, he's done.
He's done
physically.
What can happen, right? If he was on a team like GS Dub or like, you know, or Cleveland, it's like, well, he's done, but he might get another ring if
like
he stick around
6 minutes a night and just
exactly,
be good in locker room.
Exactly, yeah. Be a locker room guy, be a presence, you know, high energy, you know, speeches and all that type of stuff. But him being in Minnesota, even though I love the Thibodeau hire, I love everything they're doing over there. Like they're making pretty much flawless moves, but it's not going to happen as far as them getting a ring this year. So what is KG sticking around for? And I think what's going to happen is him retiring and then obviously the front office position. And I think it would be in their greatest interest to do whatever they can to keep him as close to Karl Anthony Towns as possible.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say is, like, it almost seems worth it.
Yeah, you have
to keep him around.
Buy
as the
him
big
out
brother.
And give him, yeah,
that
do
being
like,
said,
yeah, give,
like,
give him a position.
Supposedly there's been some conflicting reports about, like, the rest of the team and how they feel about having KG around.
The thing is, like,
he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
heard
in
that.
The best
yeah.
way, obviously.
I've heard
but,
that.
Like, if you don't want him bullying your, like, a young kid who might be around for the next 10 years when KG's
right.
only around for the next 10
and
months.
And breaking him down
yeah.
mentally
well, this
and
is
emotionally.
The thing that,
and,
so I'm a Wizards fan, and the classic story I always refer to is that Michael Jordan drafted Kwame Brown and basically verbally abused and possibly physically abused him in practice so much
wow.
in the first like couple months. Yeah, he fucked him up basically
yeah.
for the
yeah.
rest of his career.
I mean, who knows? The Timberwolves front office and Tibbs might just be like, look, honestly, man, you know, we appreciate everything you did. Here's,
we need
eight,
the roster
here's,
spot.
Here's $8 million to
right.
just go away, you
yeah.
know?
And I think as long as – see, I guess if he's on the roster still, he can be with them on the road and in practice
right.
and giving them a hard time. But I think if he has some sort of – you know, bench position or front office position or, you know, assistant.
I mean, he could be a part owner,
whatever.
Dude. That guy made
and
so
that's
much
definitely
money.
Definitely what
career.
He wants. That,
yeah.
I think that was the whole goal of bringing him back
right.
a year or two ago, whatever it was. I think that was a part of it. It was like, yeah we're going to bring him back to get in this front office position, potentially become a part owner or whatever it may be, and really groom these kids. And I think mentally, you know, the mentality that he has, even though, like you said, he's an asshole, but the mentality that he has of being able to weather the storm in the game, you know, I think if you put that on those young kids, because that's all they're lacking over there in Minnesota is experience.
Right.
You're looking at a whole team where everybody's like 23 and under. Like maybe two
shooting,
of them,
maybe
two of them could get in the club. You know what I mean? Like they're all young.
Well, I think they all could probably get in
right,
the club.
Right.
All right.
But they're all ridiculous. I mean, that starting five is it. Like you said, they do need a gunner. I would have loved for them to get Buddy Hield, but you can't pass up on Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn's going to get Rookie of the Year. You can't pass up on that.
I don't know, man. The thing is, Tibbs doesn't really like to play rookies, so he
might
but
he probably won't like to play Ricky Rubio either, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and he loves defense and you know Dunn is defense over everything.
Yeah,
so I think he'll get that burn. I think the front office will come down and be like, look, man, we selling this kid's jersey.
Yeah.
the Rookie of the Year award is pretty much his to lose. We could have three Rookie of the Years in a row on this team, you know, between Wiggins, Cat, and then Dunn. Yo, run.
Yeah.
Run them. You know what I mean? And let that burn. I'm surprised they haven't shooken off Rubio yet. I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm super surprised
at
that.
The thing is, I don't know if, like, you get rid of Rubio, then you're going to have Chris Dunn, who's never played an NBA game,
mm-hmm.
you know, start from day one.
Right.
That's a big, big learning curve.
It is.
But if you bring him, like, if you bring Dunn along slowly, because, like, the Western Conference, you can't just blow games. This team is expected to make the playoffs this year. Like, at least an eighth seed. So, yeah. You know, that's a lot of expectations. And you have a rookie point guard at the helm. You know, that's a lot to ask from a kid. So,
no, I dig it.
You know, if they bring Dunn along and then, you know, they flip Rubio at the trade deadline, that might be what they're planning. Who knows?
That might be. I mean, was Tibbs there when they drafted Derrick Rose? Was he Rose's coach from day one? I really don't remember off rip. But
I don't want to misspeak here. I think Abe's going to look it up for us.
Yeah, we got to research Abe over here.
But Tibbs, you know, he never played, I mean, McDermott, I guess, not the best example compared to Chris Dunn. But, you know, Tibbs, he likes to go with experience.
Right.
Which he doesn't have a lot of, but
and I think that may help Chris Dunn as far as playing time because he may be like, "Well, who are you putting over me?" You know, and I don't think he's that kind of guy. But I think when you look at the bare bones of it, it's like, "Well, who are you putting over
me?" Yeah, but Zach LaVine played some point last year too.
You know what? I wanted them to turn Zach LaVine into a point and draft Buddy Hield, but once Chris Dunn was seeming like he was going to be available because for whatever reason Boston wasn't going to do it because they got Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart and all those guys. Who got the first and second pick this year? First was
Ben.
Right. Philly was Ben, and then the Lakers. The Lakers was going that way. There was no way it was going to go any other way. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the Celtics obviously was the surprise pick out of everybody. But once Chris Dunn seemed like a reality, you can't let that go. But I really wanted to, before they, you know, the draft and everything, I was like, yo, if they turn Zach LaVine into a point and they pretty much just say, yo, model Penny Hardaway. That's what you do. You're 6'6", however tall, 6'7", whatever it is. You're athletic. You're a leaper. You're jumping through the gym, working on your jumper. Just model Penny. Matter of fact, let's call Penny and offer him $100,000 to train you for 2 weeks. I was always such a huge fan of that type of stuff, and I don't think enough athletes do it. I don't think enough players in the league do it. Like when Amari was going to see Hakeem and Dwight Howard, I always thought that was such a great way to go about
it. I'm pretty sure Penny
Hardaway
is coaching like middle school basketball in Memphis.
Which means he's got the summer off.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's the point.
That means, yo, let my man come to Memphis for 2 weeks. We'll put him in a hotel. Boom, boom, boom. You train with him. We got $100,000 in the bag. Boom. Yeah, I'll do it. If you take Zach LaVine and turn him into the next Penny,
right?
And you say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to model you after this guy. You're
even like a
that.
Bad version of Yo, Penny.
That's
even
what
like
I'm saying.
Diet
that's what I'm saying.
Version.
Imagine
like LaVine and Towns is like a new school Penny and Shaq.
That's what I'm saying. And then you pick up Buddy Hield in the draft.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Wiggins is there. You know, I like Gorgui Dieng, but I feel like they could do something else at the four and bring him off the bench. Yeah. He's nice, but I feel like that might be a situation where they could capitalize off of him being on the bench if they had somebody else at the four. But, you know, it's all hindsight and hypothetical because I love Chris Dunn. This is not a knock on Chris Dunn.
No,
I think they hit a home run with the draft being able to get him. And I do think they're going to get Rookie of the Year 3 years in a row. I mean, you know, Ben Simmons is there, obviously, but a lot has to happen for him to get that. Because a lot has to happen with the team.
And he's going to be on a terrible team.
Absolutely.
As an
aside, anytime you have a hypothetical, just throw it out there, man. We love hypotheticals.
Let's do it. Let's do
this podcast.
Word up.
They've been requested, in fact.
So, by listeners. This is technically a hypothetical, but assuming that, you know, Garnett, and by the way, Vinny Del
Negro. Oh, Vinny Del Negro was the coach. Okay.
But anyways, so Garnett, Duncan, and Kobe, it's going to be the same Hall of Fame class, assuming that KG retires.
Right?
That's all right.
Go ahead.
Ray Allen, not officially retired. Paul Pierce could retire.
He probably
will. So that could be, you know, that five right there. And plus the three who are on the Celtics, that would be fire if the three of them went in together.
They went together.
Yeah.
So how do you set the set list for who's speaking at the induction?
Well, if Kobe's in it, it's Kobe, hands down.
Yeah, Kobe,
if Kobe's in it, it's hands down.
It's almost like they should give him his own year.
Right.
Because I don't, like, the Garnett and Duncan speeches are going to be amazing, too.
Yeah.
Duncan's will be short, but I could see Kobe going, like, the Michael Jordan route, when Jordan just shit on everybody at his home.
Oh, I mean, it's going to be great. is that, is everyone we named, is that all the same draft class? No, right? But it's almost. No. It's almost. No. It's well, Kobe and Ray Allen together,
of course.
Right.
KG was the year previous.
Yeah.
And then Duncan was 98. Was Duncan and
97, 98.
Right.
Something like that. 98. Yeah.
That Hall of Fame run, that would be nuts, though. If it was those, what would we count, four or five guys, that would be nuts, man. That, yeah.
But Duncan, it's Kobe. Duncan was 97, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then 98 is Dirk and Paul Pierce and Vince Carter. And,
yeah. But Kobe would get top billing on that, for sure. Even over Duncan, Kobe would get top billing on that.
For sure. Just because, you know, he's cold. He's the star, man.
He's cold. Yeah, that's what it is. He's cold, man. 81, he's cold.
Just imagine all the Kobe stands that weekend. It's going to be ridiculous. Oh, yeah. I might have to stay off Twitter that weekend. just enjoy the speech, but I can't look at social
rolling
media.
Rolling through the timeline,
too many people are just like giving their undying love to Kobe Bryant.
We still get letters about Kobe and like people in our Instagram comments and on our posts being like, yo, Kobe's still a top 20 player in the game.
Yeah, I was about to say it.
You know, he's not playing.
I think people are going to be like, yo, where was Kobe on the top 50 list this year?
What are you talking about, man?
You should do a cover story with Kobe where he writes his own piece.
I mean, I think that's been broached before, but never
came to fruition. That would be super dope.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of logistics, but yeah, that'd be fire if we could.
Because he's heavy on that, like writing. Mm-hmm. And
well, he's got time now.
Yeah. And he's heavy on that. He's an intelligent dude, and you know, now he's writing scripts and all that, so that'd be dope.
That'd
but
be
anyway,
incredible.
back to the lecture at hand.
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of leads right into maybe getting into our top 50 a little bit.
I didn't want to jump the gun, but go ahead.
Nah, I mean, this is kind of.
And this is top 50 current, obviously, for those listening.
I'm glad you're bringing this up because I feel like we need to give a general PSA to anybody listening to this.
People are stupid.
People are stupid. This is number one. So this happens. This happens every single year when we do this. Is people, for instance, if you're listening and you know anything about the top 50, we put Ben Simmons at number 50. All right, I'd say a majority of the comments, not even saying this is a good ranking or a bad ranking, the majority were saying, how could he be top 50? He's never even played a game.
Right.
You guys got to pay fucking attention.
Pay attention.
This is our top 50 rankings for this season.
For the
players
16-17 season.
Will have an impact on this year's NBA season.
Right. From top to bottom.
Yet, you don't think we know that he hasn't played a game before?
Right.
What kind of
this
bullshit
is all
operation
prediction.
Is
this? Yeah, this
exactly.
is all prediction and what
so
we know of the
game.
We got to
get past that first. All
we're,
right?
we're projecting forward, as they say.
You got to know what we're even talking about right now.
Right.
If we did this top 50 at the end of the season for last season, that's something completely different.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like the rankings would be completely different.
Right.
We could put, I mean, last year we had Anthony Davis. We projected him to make
number
a
two.
Monster leap and jump up to number two.
Right.
It didn't happen. So we recalibrate and we make some new projections for this
year.
He
may drop to 30 or something
exactly.
or whatever. Maybe, yeah.
It could be. And you got to also keep in mind, this is a compilation of, I think this year we had between 20 and 30 of our contributors, writers, you know, sending in a ballot. And this is like the result of that. We're not over here. We didn't just sit, you know, myself, Peter and Adam back in the office and like do a little chart. Like, you know, we respect every person's opinion. That's a normal, consistent contributor to
Slam.
Yeah,
and it's a ton of research and basketball knowledge and acumen and all
and we,
that.
We compile it all into one and this is what we come up with.
Yeah, but, and before we really get into it, we got to shout out Ryan Nelson, who's really the mastermind behind this whole thing. Comes up with like the whole algorithm and has all these charts. He's like, like locks himself in a room for 2 days.
I think this is like the eighth year that he's done this as well. So, you know, this is a well-oiled machine
He claims, we need to fact check, but he claims Slam was the first publication to do like a top whatever players list, like a top 50 list, top 100 list.
Yeah, we may need to have Ryan on next week to explain the genesis.
I can see that. Yeah. So is the list, I know we only got a little small portion here, but is the list done?
Yeah, the list is
behind
done.
The scenes.
Behind
the
scenes,
we'll do that off. We'll do that off
the
air.
You can see it.
Off the mic.
You
know
just
what
can't
mean?
Tell the people about it.
Can we talk about what's here and then who we think should be on the rest of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
And now for the people listening, I haven't seen anything except 50 to 41,
which is what anyone listening will have seen as well.
Right.
Because
I don't want y'all thinking,
over the weekend, and then
I don't want y'all thinking. You know, when I start naming the other 40 or whatever it is, or the top 10 at least.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sky saw the list before he went on the radio. So you know, I haven't seen none of that. We're just gonna put it together and figure it out. But yeah, man, we could run through this bottom
so I
10.
Guess, yeah, like the first thing, I mean, I'd be interested to get both your opinions about. Mm-hmm. So 50 and so 50, 49, and 47.
Mm-hmm.
Putting, well, I guess you could put Derek Favors at 48 in there as well. But 50 was Ben Simmons, 49 D'Angelo Russell, Derek Favors 48, and 47 was Devin Booker. So three of those, and really, Derek Favors is like 25 years old too. But
I know, it's so weird.
That's, wow, he's been in the league for a minute too.
But
you know?
Let's just it's focus so on weird. those other three for a moment. I mean, those are three like incredibly young players.
Yes.
Yeah.
Devin Booker, 19? Like just turned 19,
baby.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess just in general, like, I guess like this is kind of the debate we always have too, is like, how do you rank these dudes that are like 19, 20, 21 and showing so much promise versus like, you know, veteran, not boring, but like not really sexy names, like a lot of the names that appeared on like Sports Illustrated's list, like Marvin Williams,
and
like, you know, just like dudes that have been around. So I don't know, how do you guys feel about those couple of like first names that we bust out of the gate with?
Well, I'll say this about Simmons at 50, we got a lot of heat for that, as Abe was saying before, but you know, if you look back at the last 2 years, you had Wiggins was rookie of the year, didn't make our top 50 that year. I think he jumped up to like, was he in the 30s last year?
I think he jumped into the high 30s or low 40s, yeah.
So, you know, you could argue he was a top 50 player his first year in the league. Yeah. Carl Towns was rookie of the year last year. He didn't make it. He was a number one overall pick. He didn't make our top 50 last year. He's going to be
up
way
there,
up this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's projecting forward. Ben Simmons is, as the guy who wrote it, Leo Sepkowitz wrote, you know, he's a potential once in a generation prospect.
Yeah.
Like this kid could potentially, you know, his president's already helping out to be Hall of Fame. People comparing him to Magic Johnson. People comparing him to LeBron. It's like, all right, you're looking at all this. How can you not say he could be a top 50 player?
Right.
Like, all right, he hasn't played an NBA game, so what? I mean, this kid has that it factor. You can't just
also is like
past that.
If you're gonna draft someone number one in the NBA, this isn't like baseball where like sometimes the guys don't pan out or whatever. In the NBA, if you're the number one pick, you're basically expected to be a top 50 player.
Yes.
Maybe not immediately. All right, we might be jumping the gun on the year, but like 5 years from now, if Ben Simmons is not a top 30 player, then that was a bust.
It was a horrible draft.
Yeah.
It was a horrible draft.
So like you gotta put the expectations on these guys. And it's not like we ranked him 5 overall.
No. Right.
50 is just a nod to like, hey, like we see you.
Yeah, I mean, even when you look at the people, you know, that you have above him, like, you know, Serge Ibaka and, you know, certain players like that, and even Derek Favors, it's like, okay, cool, then it makes sense. You know, it's not like he's above those guys. So you're still saying he has room to grow. He has to show and prove. You know, you're still showing those different things. So, yeah, totally. I mean, I'm not mad at him being there.
Realistically, his numbers, you would think, if he starts and plays the minutes that he should play on a bad team, his numbers are going to be impressive.
Mm. Yeah. The only problem is that he doesn't want to score, and he's on a team with no scorers. So,
well, that's going to be his biggest challenge.
Right.
Like, let's see what he can do.
That's on the coach to get him to bring that out of him. That's not, you know.
Right, absolutely. He has to be able to run around and say, all right, enough passing, let me put the ball in the hole, you know, because he's not on a team with people who can necessarily, I mean, I'm not even sure what their roster is, you know, they're definitely going to run him at the one, him being 6'10", whatever, they're still going to be like, you play the one, on paper, you'll be the four in the starting lineup, but you're the one, you know, so.
The interesting thing is that they have another guy who is also like a huge mystery in Embiid.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't even know.
Mess over there, man. What are they doing? Why are you putting all your stock on somebody who hasn't played in 3 years?
It's Embiid. It's Dario Saric.
Over two kids who've played and showed improvement. I mean, Jahlil Okafor averaged, 18-7 last year?
Yeah.
Why am I looking to trade him over a guy who has constant foot problems and hasn't played a game? It's not like, yo, he played a season or half a season. We saw this then. He hasn't played a game yet. It's not even like with Blake, where Blake was in preseason getting busy. He tore his knee up. Yeah, he tore his knee up, missed the season, came back second season like Superman. It was like people don't even remember Blake Griffin's knee injury as a rookie. It's so far gone. It's like, why would you throw all this away for an unproven kid?
Right.
And this is not a shot to him. I truly don't think that's going to work out.
I mean, not to jump into some Sam Hinkie shit again, but this is what I always felt like in that regard is like, you can't just be like, you know, setting up your franchise every year off the promise of something that might happen. You got to deal with the physical, what's on the court and the product on the court and what you have in your hand, like what you have in your stock or whatever.
Yeah, it's cool for the first year to say, okay, Embiid went down. It happens. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. We stand tall with the player, whatever. The second year when it's like, yo, nothing's changed, it's like we got to draft differently now. We got to figure that out, you know. And they seem like they were doing that by drafting Nerlens and then drafting Jahlil Okafor. It was like, okay, well, they're getting ready to move on from that. They're getting ready to figure out, yo, I don't know if this is going to work. And now they're talking about shaking the dude who went number three a year prior, who averaged 18-7 and could have been in the conversation for rookie of the year if he was on a better team, a slightly better team at least. You know, it's like – that's why nobody wanted to go there. That's why KP wouldn't work out for them.
Yeah.
Imagine right now if KP had the season he had last year in Philly and they were like, oh, we got to trade this kid because we're looking at Embiid. That's why KP and his brothers was turning down meetings and medical records and workouts. They wasn't stupid. They was like, nah, we not going there.
Like the thing is, if you're a team or a GM or owner of a team, I don't understand how you can rationalize drafting a guy who is injured on draft night. Like, I remember, we were at the draft, must have been like 2013 when Alex Len got drafted, and he walked by us and he had a massive walking boot on his foot. I'm like, how the hell would you draft this?
Why would you buy a shirt from the store that has a hole in it or is defected? Like, why would you do that? Just go and get the new one in the back.
Yeah, you know what I mean? pay the extra couple dollars.
Yeah, like what are we doing? Yeah. Like, no, I'm not gonna buy this Bernard King jersey with a hole in it.
I never understood that.
Yeah, it's wild.
On a slightly unrelated note, but semi-related, just talking about Embiid made me think of like. You probably seen all these dudes every summer. Everyone has like the Instagram video where they're like working out against like a chair or a trainer or something. Everyone's like, oh shit, like Embiid looks ready for the season.
Right.
You mean John Wall?
I've seen that. I've seen him jumping through the gym against a chair and all that. Listen, this is not a shot against him, man. I hope he get busy and do his thing. I know he's young, you know, the whole deal. But man, it's proven. It's like, what is going on? Why would you get rid of Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel? For somebody who hasn't done anything yet. Then you're going to sit there and regret it when Jahlil Okafor is in Boston or wherever else, and you're sitting there with him, and you're like, wow, you know, this Embiid thing happened again. God forbid. But it's like it happened again.
Embiid is such a great personality, obviously. Like,
right.
I hope he's a star. Like,
yeah,
him being a star would be the best thing. Him and Simmons both killing would be the best thing.
Yeah.
But there's just like a weird vibe around that team constantly.
I could see that whole thing blowing up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Some, like, you can't have that many, you know, it's just too many cooks in the kitchen, man. Like too many high picks. The egos are going to come into play. Something back it happen.
All of them was top 10, top 5 picks. I mean, Nerlens Noel went 6 and he was upset.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go 2 or 3.
He's supposed to go 1 if he didn't, because he tore his ACL. Because
he got hurt. Yeah, because he got hurt.
When you look at who went number 1 that year,
it was Bennett, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should have been Giannis, man.
Yeah.
But anyways. Any other thoughts, I mean, from either of you on the first, you know, first 10 out of this top 50? I think the hardest thing for me always is, like, doing this not by position. And, like, how do you even, like, for instance, we have 41 is Pau Gasol, 42 is CJ McCollum. Those are completely different players, completely different ends of, like, one's on the complete rise of his career, young player.
And one's on the way out.
Yeah, those are the ones that are, like, really, really hard to
differentiate. I'm not high on Gasol this year. I mean, he's just like, I don't know. He's old as hell.
I agree, and I'm super glad we didn't get him on the Knicks. Yeah. Super, because I know that was the conversation. Yo, Gasol, come to the Knicks, boom, 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 train KP.
He probably wanted to, because he's all about like, oh, I want to be able to go to Broadway shows and whatever the fuck else.
Are you mocking him for
it? Yeah, man. He chooses his free agent destinations usually based on like the culture.
Then why did he go to San Antonio?
I don't know. It's really weird.
Big fan
That's
of the
a
Alamo?
Ring chase. That's a ring chase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a ring chase. That's so, like if I could be that piece
he wanted to play
fill
for
in. Yeah, I could fill in for they have a whole there with Tim Duncan gone, I could fill that slot. Me, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard, et cetera, et cetera. Boom. You know, I'm not super high on Pau Gasol. I respect what he's done.
Of course.
I respect his career.
Yeah.
But him for this season moving forward, I think the slot is cool because that's saying that there's 40 other players better than him this season. I'm with that. You know, if he would have been 25 or something, I might have had an issue.
Yeah.
But 41, I'm with that. That's all right.
I mean, vets, when vets go to – San Antonio, it's kind of it doesn't always pan out. Like they kind of catch them like bit. 1 year too late. Like right. David West obviously isn't the player that Pau Gasol is. Like that thing didn't work out at
right.
all. Like
right.
Andre Miller went there. Tracy McGrady went there. So right. so many players end their career there.
Kevin Martin.
Kevin Martin
was there for a second.
You know, they bring in these guys, and
it's all
like
a chase.
The thing is, like, the successful San Antonio players have been in San Antonio
in the
for
system.
A year, so
yep.
they know.
They
like,
came up in the farm.
Like,
system.
You can't bring any bullshit with you if you're heading to San Antonio. You got to be, you know.
Oh, Pop ain't having it. Military guy, he ain't having it. And I think they know that. And anybody who goes there loves and respects that aspect of it. But I think it's the ones who came up in the system, like in the farm system, like baseball, you know, they came up in the system, man. Like, you know, Kawhi is a Spurs guy, you know, Tony Parker, Manu, and, you know, Tim Duncan, obviously. The only exception is LaMarcus Aldridge, but it works so seamlessly because of his personality. Yeah. It was we could just slide you right in here and you could take over this spot. And, you know, Timmy is willing to take the backseat because he knows it's the end anyway. And it just works out perfectly. And I think what they should have did was really pulled the trigger on Mike Conley. I think Mike Conley was the perfect point guard to continue that Spurs fabric, you know? And I remember it was in the spring, it was before the summer. I remember over the spring just looking at all this and what was going to happen in free agency. And I'm like, Tony Parker's going to go soon. You know, he's not that old. He's 34. He's not that old. You know, he's my age. So it's like I look at him and I'm like, dang, you know, like you're not even that old. But in basketball, you kind
of
are.
You got a lot of miles on
you. Got tons of miles.
I've never seen anybody like be for – I think he has the highest correlation of like good player to how high he does not jump. Like I've never seen him jump more than like 1 inch off the ground. I swear to God.
Right. So it's like with him – I'm thinking to myself, okay, who is the point guard who can carry that, who has that same mind frame, the same mindset of team first, pass, hard nose, defense, blue collar, but still disciplined and able to have Pop run the show for them. And for me, I was like, yo, Mike Conley's that guy. You know, even like a Russell. Russell's wild. I love Russell. Russell's wild. Russell wouldn't work in San Diego. Russell's going to do what he wants.
No chance.
You know what I mean? Steph is going to do what he wants.
He does what he wants.
Right, because Steph's fabric is, you know, he's cut from a different cloth. So you're looking at these guys and saying who would work. John Wall, no. And I love John Wall. No, he wouldn't work there. It's a certain type of player. And I was like, yo, Mike Conley, they got to pull a trigger on Mike Conley. And I heard they hollered, but, I mean, that bag was just too ridiculous in Memphis. And that was such a stupid move, man. They really just didn't want to lose. It was like when Atlanta re-signed Joe Johnson back in 2010 because they heard the Knicks was on his heels in different play, and they gave him a stupid contract. Memphis is going to regret that. And, you know, I like Mike Conley. He's dope. But I just – you're doing the same thing. It's like the Clippers, like we talked about earlier. You're just doing the same thing over and over and over. And you're just hitting this glass ceiling that's mega low.
Yeah.
And it's like over and over and over. Like, what's going to change? You know, like it's Z-Bo and Gasol and Conley. Now you got Chandler Parsons, who's dope. I'm super surprised he left Dallas because he was all about Mark Cuban when he got there and they was best friends. And he did 1 year and broke out. I was super surprised at that. But, you know, so that's cool. But they might regret all that in the long run. But I think Mike Conley, I think San Antonio should have pulled that trigger.
You know what's crazy about just, you know, hearing you say that too is Patty Mills is still on that team. And, like, we did this thing with Isaiah Thomas a couple weeks ago. And I was talking to Isaiah it was during the Olympics at the time. We were talking about, I mean, Patty Mills is a beast in international play. And he plays like completely off the chain, not how he plays with San Antonio.
With the Spurs,
it's just kind of funny. Like, you know, you see him on the Spurs. He's like just kind of playing his role, doing the backup point guard thing.
Right.
Meanwhile, he's leading the Olympics and scoring. He's just, every time he touches a ball, no matter where he is, he's firing that thing.
Right.
So
because he knows when he goes home, it's a different game. when the parents are away, he can play. When he go home to the parents, he can't do all that.
They
so
kinda,
he get his burn.
Yeah, I think they were kind of thinking Patty Mills is the heir apparent to.
I guess so, and he's dope. Patty Mills is dope.
Like, I don't know. They gave him a lot of money. It hasn't really worked out. They got rid of Corey Joseph, who might be the best backup point guard in the league. At least he's up there. I just remember they got DeJounte Murray in the draft too, who they probably have high expectations for as well. Anyway, I just wanted to make a quick comment on Devin Booker as well. Kind of got like not that bad of a response when we put him at 47.
I love him.
Yeah,
I love him.
People
man.
were just people were like, yeah, I could see that. But
cool
then,
kid too. Yeah. Yeah, hung out with him after Nick game, him and his pops at a dinner spot and all that. Cool kid. Yeah. I love him, man. I think he's it. I think when you're 6'7" and you can hit the trigger like that, and you've got, you know, you've got some muscle to you. You know, you're not Reggie Miller. You know, you've got some muscle to you and hand doing a finesse game, but you could pull the trigger like that. Oh, I love him, man. Yeah. I think Devin Booker's the truth.
And I mean, the shooting guard position, you know, isn't that stacked.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of really good shooting guards, and then there's no real middle ground.
Yeah, there's no middle. It's high and low. You know?
So, you know, he could be – I'm looking at the list. CJ McCollum is above him. Obviously, Harden's going to be above him. Klay Thompson.
Right.
Brad Beal. And then – you know who? Well, I'm probably forgetting somebody.
No,
but
I was about to say I hesitate to even bring it up. But what about Booker versus Beal straight up? I mean, 47 and 45 on the list.
I mean, we have. I mean, one year. This is the big thing. This is the big thing. We always bring up when we're discussing players. Like, should he be ranked here or there? Are we talking 1 year or 5 years? So right. In this case, we're just talking 1 year.
1 year.
On a 1 year, I'm taking Bledsoe. On a 5 year, I think I'm taking Booker, just based on what he did his
rookie
year. Wait,
Bledsoe or Beal?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Beal, right?
Beal, yeah. Pardon me. No, Beal, so yes. So I'm definitely taking Beal.
I mean,
Beal's
the truth.
Beal's
the truth. You know, I think what DC is doing, it's right there. It's like right around the corner. You know, it's around the corner from really, really being special. Obviously, if KD would have went there, it would have been it. I like Marcin Gortat a lot. You know, I like Gortat a lot, and I think every year he's found his groove more and more as the years have progressed.
Really?
As far as the type of play. You don't like him?
I'm a Wizards fan. I can't stand him.
Really?
Wow,
isn't
he's
he like
good.
An 18
he's
and
good.
And
I feel like
guy.
That's like a classic, like, you're not watching all the games response.
Probably, because
like,
I don't.
I watch about three Wizards games.
This is, right. I'd say, like, of all the, like, angry Wizards fan texts that I exchange with, you know,
it's
friends and family,
him.
A lot, like, 90% of those are about sometimes, like, and the most frustrating part is that Wall is so fucking good. And
yeah,
then he'll
he's
get,
a, he's
get
ridiculous.
In the lane, draw three defenders, dish off a pass like right into Gortat's hands, it'll just like bounce off his hands.
Yeah.
Like that's the stuff that doesn't show up in the
right.
box score.
Right.
He might still end up with 16 and 10 or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, dog, you had a wide
yeah,
open
I was about
dunk.
To say, isn't he like a 16, 18, and kind of 8
yeah,
to 10
I mean,
rebound
he's,
guy?
He's definitely productive. Like, I'd
yeah.
rather have him than not. But
yeah.
it's just, I guess it's more frustration
right.
than disappointment.
Because you
just
see what could be.
Exactly.
Right. I dig
exactly.
it. I dig
and
it.
Because Wall is like one of... Is such a unique guy, and he gets guys open
oh, he's
shots
great, man.
Every possession.
He's great, man.
So it's like it's doubly frustrating because he's putting them in, but whatever. I could go off on a 30-minute rant
but
about this.
I look at you look at the Wizards with Beal and Wall, and then I compare them to the Blazers, at least in the sense that you know the Blazers have Dame and CJ, and then they have pieces that fit around them. Mm-hmm. As long as those two guys are playing well, they're as good
they should be okay.
as anybody.
Yeah,
so, you know, as
okay.
long as if you have Beal and Wall playing together
right.
at a high level for, you know, even 65 games a year, because, you know, both these guys are going to miss time with injuries. Just
yeah.
It's just a matter of fact. You know, they could be a force to be reckoned with in the East. In today's NBA, you need a good backcourt. A great
it's
backcourt.
It's driven
and, yeah,
by the backcourt,
and
for
you can,
sure.
You can wreak havoc.
If they're
man.
Both healthy,
yeah.
and, you know, you heard the little rumblings about them butting heads over the summer or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I think that's bullshit, man. That's,
yeah,
you know.
if they really got it together, as they should, because they're both mega young, they get it together, man, that's an unstoppable backcourt.
Right.
And that's a backcourt that was even being argued last year, where people were saying top 10 backcourts, top 5 backcourts. You can't not consider them. You
yeah.
can't. You got to be like, you got to kind of say, yeah, John Wall, Brad Beal, yeah, okay. Let's put them right there, you know, and let obviously Steph and Clay. You know, you got to put them in that conversation.
I mean,
I think they get overlooked,
right.
but you got to put them in that conversation. And I love the fire that John Wall has where he's tired of being overlooked. He feels like he's in somewhat of a major market. You're in D.C. You're in
Absolutely.
Somewhat of a major market. And when you're talking top 5, top 10 PGs and your name ain't coming up, it's like, wait a minute. And it's not because of what I'm not doing. It's because of the pieces I have around me. Like you said, if I'm driving and kicking out, I'm driving and dishing, I'm
yeah.
dribble penetrate, I'm dishing and heads is missing, then that goes overlooked. And that happens 10, 15 times in the game, and that goes overlooked. And that doesn't make SportsCenter. It doesn't make slam ups. And then before you know it, you're not thought of as that guy anymore when you are. I think he's out of there. When he becomes a free agent, I think he's out.
I don't even want to. I don't even want
to
have this conversation with
agree,
a microphone in front of my face.
It,
so,
but I think he's out of there.
I don't know.
Well,
unless
this year,
they make a draft,
look,
when is he a free agent?
2 years. But this year, this year's going to be a huge year, obviously, because, I mean, what does Beal do now that he got his massive
contract? Oh, he has to produce. He has to put on.
And now he's being paid like the best player on the team.
124.
So it's got to be.
He got to put on.
I mean, basically, I mean.
And John Wall's
got to make an all-star team.
Right, and John Wall's looking at everybody like, you getting this bag, you getting this bag. Then he's looking at his man on the team like, oh, you got a bag? Hold up. Like, I know what I can do. I'm 6'5", I'm athletic, I got handles, I play hard-nosed defense, I got a jumper, I dribble, penetrate. Like, whoa. I can jump through the gym. Wait a minute. Hold up. So if that thing doesn't go right, at least somewhat right in the next year and a half, I think he out of there.
So he's signed through 2018-19 is what, 2 years after this year.
But oh, wow.
Regardless. Whew.
Okay.
But you know how this stuff works. Like, yeah. You know, a year out, it starts to become a thing.
The talk,
so.
Yeah, the
but
talk
maybe,
happens.
You know, with the way things went last year, you know, I would say that the spotlight and attention has kind of drifted away from them. So,
yeah.
You know, they could sneak up on some people. Maybe that's so. Maybe that's for the best.
I think so.
I mean, and the crazy, like, so I'm just looking at their over under, their Vegas over under is 42.5, which would, I mean, that'd be an improvement from last year.
Kind of, that's pretty high for that team.
Yeah.
What did they win last year? 35, 37?
40. I believe it was 40. So, I don't know.
Two and a half games. That's a, like, two
and
a half games.
Keep in mind, that's four games better than the Knicks.
Yeah.
In the Vegas over under.
Yo, let me tell you, man.
Go ahead. Talk your shit.
Yo, we get more hate.
We?
The Knicks, we.
Well, he is in full uniform right now, so I mean, I'm going to allow it.
We, as the Knicks tape of the United, of this United Legion of Knicks fans, we at the Knicks tapes in New York City, greater metropolitan area, we get more hate than anybody. I mean, not to shout out another network or whatever, but did you hear what ESPN was saying about us? They were like, maybe they're better than Philly. What?
Whoa.
Maybe.
That's crazy.
They did a rundown. That's stupid, yeah. They did a rundown where they would. They did
Are you
a
sure
whole,
they didn't mean Brooklyn?
Right. They did a whole hour-long episode about the Knicks on, I don't know if it was True Hoop or The Jump. No, it wasn't The Jump. Might have been True Hoop. Whatever it was, they did a whole hour-long joint. It was six or seven of them up there. Shout out to my man Ian Begley. He held it down for us. Everybody else up there, Brian Windhorst, all the rest of them was being lames. And
Windy?
Yeah.
And with young Windy?
My man Ian Begley was holding it down. But other than that, everybody was being lame. And they were saying that the Knicks better than this, and the moves they did was corny, and da-da-da-da-da, and everybody's past their time, and da-da-da-da-da. The only one they're praising is Porzingis. So they say, okay, let's roll out all the teams in the East. In order. Are they better than Cleveland? No. Are they better than Toronto? No. And then they keep going and going and going. And they're like, when I had to turn it off, even the Philly thing I didn't turn because I just knew it was bullshit. But when I turned it off is when they said, are they better than Miami with Bosch? No. Are they better than Miami without Bosch? No. I was like, I'm done. I got to go. We're acting like Melo isn't who he is. We're acting like KP isn't on the rise. We're acting like Joakim Noah isn't who he is. We're acting like Courtney Lee, Derrick Rose, Brandon Jennings. I will admit the bench is thin.
Bench is looking suspect.
The bench is thin. Yeah. After Brandon
so
Jennings.
So many teams' benches are thin. Like the Wizards' bench sucks too. Like,
you, need,
you know what I mean?
You need
the
seven
Milwaukee's
good players.
Bench sucks too.
Yeah. You need seven good players. Anything after that is a cherry on top. You need seven good players that can play 30-plus minutes a night.
And I feel like after Brandon Jennings.
Justin
Lance
Holiday
Thomas.
Is all right.
I like Justin Holiday a lot. Yeah, I hope that works out. Yeah. I hope he get minutes over Sasha. I hope when they're calling up a two guard off the bench to come in for Courtney Lee, it's Justin Holiday way before it's Sasha. But when you're looking at them after Brandon Jennings, Kylo Quinn, Lance Thomas, and Justin Holiday, I think it gets real bad after that. Like real bad. It's not
Yo,
like
don't suck your teeth at those players, man. Future podcast guests.
Facts. I'm going to go have to go back and edit that out.
It drops fast, you know, and that's my only fear. The starting five, forget it. And I got people's in the mix with them, and they said, man, the way they look, they said, the way D. Rose look, forget it. Like, he's heard every con. I see it. I see your face.
I was about to say
I see your face. I see your face.
How is this different from, like, the Joel Embiid thing of, like, he looks good in the summer, too?
Well, he's playing against real people and not real chairs, for one.
Okay.
And for two, you know, this is the first, they said this is the first full summer he's had where he hasn't been hurt.
Right.
Because every summer before this, after, you know, that first injury against the Sixers, in the summer, he would be coming off the injury and he would still be a little sore, but he would push through it in the summer and train.
Yeah.
They said this is the first summer where starting in May, because he usually starts in June, July, because the Bulls are always in the playoffs. Starting in May, he's been able to run.
Right,
he's
and last been able year,
to get to it.
Last year, he was healthy all summer, and then the first week of training game, he got popped in the eye.
And that wasn't his fault. It wasn't like his knees went out. Yeah. You know, Taj Gibson hit him with the elbow, or whoever it was hit him with the elbow and broke his bone in his face. So that wasn't his fault. But from what I've heard from my peoples on the inside, they're like, man, get ready. Derrick Rose looks like a monster.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he is back on some 2010, 2011. Like, he's out of control. Yeah. Like, he's coming for it because he hears everybody.
Right.
He hears all the lists. He hears all the he's done, he's trash, and he's broken down, and he's a broken Buick. He hears it. And they said, yo, that dude is ready.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's going to be bad.
The elephant in the room with him is obviously, you know, the rape case he has going on. So, you know, we're not going to dwell on that. But, you know, that's something you got to, like, it's in the mix. You know, it's something that could affect his season. You know, you don't know if he's even going to be available for training camp. Oh, the off-the-court
stuff? Yeah. From what I'm reading is she doesn't want to go to court. She definitely just wants to settle. So you can take that for what it is, and we're not going to get into how I personally feel.
No,
but, you know, the report is out there that she definitely does not want to go to court.
Right.
She just wants to get this over with. She's like, give me this money, and let's call it a day.
Right. So hopefully they get that settled before.
Whatever it is, get it out the way. Yeah. The crazy thing is that the case starts October 4th, which is the first day of preseason. They play Houston, and it's his birthday.
Wow.
So it's wild.
I mean, the whole thing is crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost like a little bit sickening to read about.
For sure.
Not really the place for us to talk about on this podcast.
Right.
But it's out there, so we have to mention it.
Right, and then, you know, I like the fact that he's able to push through it as far as, you know, where he's been training this summer. A lot of times you hear stories like this and you hear guys fall off the truck where it's like they started getting into this. They started partying a lot of clubbing, a lot of drinking because they're going through something as traumatic as this. And he's been able to push through. He's still young. He's 27. He's been able to push through it. He's training all summer. He's getting busy. He's super excited about being here. Mega excited. And he says when he's out in the street, the love he's getting is out of control. Because you know New York is a basketball city. It's the biggest basketball city in the world. So it's we love basketball more than any other sport here. So it's like if you're from New York, you're all about ball. So it's like, yo, D-Rose, let's get it. Yo, bust ass this year. And everybody's happy.
The thing is, right now everybody's happy. But the thing is, he's got to play.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
He's got to perform.
Trust me. Because as a Nick guy, as a guy who's bleed, if you cut me now, it'll be blue and orange coming out. I'm the first one screaming at these guys.
Right.
I mean, if you would have caught me in the Chris Duhon years and all that.
Oh,
like,
man.
I was the first one yelling from the stands, losing my mind. You know, so I get it. Trust me, he got to perform because as quick as they loving him, I mean, if he have one off night, it's gonna get bad real quick.
It's gonna be like the backup calling for the backup quarterback situation.
Oh yeah,
everyone's gonna be like, let Jennings cook.
Right,
man.
It's gonna be bad real quick because that's how we are up here. It's like, yo, either get it or get moving. You know, so but I think he's built for that. I think he got the skin for it. I'm super excited about our team, man. I wish the bench was stronger. I feel like our bench was stronger last year, but I wish the bench was stronger, but other than that, man, I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I read a report where KP went in the locker room after working out with Joakim, and I guess Joakim was shirtless, and he was like, whoa, like, pause. But he was like, yo, you what? Like, how much have you been working out? Like, apparently he looks like a bodybuilder. So I'm ready, man. I'm super, super ready. I think Courtney Lee was a steal.
Yeah, that was a good pickup for them.
It could have been D Wade,
but
that would have been a temporary fix. You would have got 1 or 2 years out of D Wade, but that would have been bananas. But you know, we would have got 1 or 2 years out of D Wade. Now it'd have been that. I'm super happy with Courtney Lee. I love the Derrick Rose move, man. I loved it when it went down. I wish I could call my little brother, but he's in school. He's 15. I wish I could call him and put him on the air. I was jumping up and down in the crib, and he was like, yeah. I was like, you see this? You know what I mean? And he's a Westbrook guy, so, you know, when you're that age, you follow the player.
He's
a Westbrook guy. But he was like, yeah, you think? Yeah. Like, he was looking at I was jumping up and down like it was Christmas. When we was in the crib, and ESPN was on it, and it said, breaking news, boom, boom, boom. I was like, yo, whoa, shit. Like, I was losing it. I'm turning the volume. I'm going crazy because I knew the win-win of it. Now, obviously, it changed with Russell Westbrook re-signing because the play was let Derrick Rose cook. If it works out, it works out, and you figure out re-signing him later, but it's a good problem.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work, you let him rock, you let him leave, and you go balls to the wall for Russell. Pause. You just go balls to the wall for him. He re-signed. Don't ask me why. He re-signed, And because I think that team
secured the bag, man.
Yeah, I think that team is overrated. I definitely think that OKC team, and I love Russell Westbrook, so it's not about him, but I think that team is overrated. I think they were able to play as well as they played without Kevin because they knew Kevin was there. It's like, okay, he's hurt for a week or two, but we know what it is. We know we still got him. We know if we need him, he could play through the pain and push through. We know he's there. He's a security blanket. He's gone. I think that team's confidence on that level, they're going to come out the gate firing. They might win the first four games in a row. They're going to come out the gate firing. But after that, I think it's going to drop off. I think that team is definitely a little overrated. Not much, but I think they're a little overrated. But with Russell re-signing, me as pretend Knicks GM, I go, well, what do we do next summer if, God forbid, Derrick Rose doesn't work? And the play is, okay, if Derrick Rose works out, do you re-sign him for this huge bag because he worked? Let's say he has an 18-9 season, Raymond Felton. You know, he has an 18-9. If Raymond Felton could do it,
yeah,
and Derrick Rose could definitely do it. You know,
yeah, so he plays 65 games. It's like,
yeah, let's say he plays 65, 70
it's
games.
Awfully optimistic, guys.
I know, he played 66 last year. He averaged 18-6. So, I mean, for him to average 18-8, that could happen. You're playing with Melo, KP, whatever, whatever. So you're putting him and Brandon Jennings out on the floor at the same time to start the third quarter, all those different things. So
can he thrive in the triangle, though?
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to be as much triangle as it has been.
It's going
to
be,
I pray to God that it's not.
This is Phil's baby, dude.
I hate that shape, man. I swear to God, I hate that shape. Like, you can't even go to Jay-Z concert and throw the diamond up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a triangle. I hate that shape so much now,
I mean, the
man.
Thing is, like, when Hornacek had his success with Phoenix, it was when he had, you know.
When he was running.
We had Dragic and Bledsoe, you know, just running wild. It's
running
like,
gun.
How are you going to, like, how are you just going to force him to run the triangle?
I mean,
you can't do it.
Right, which is why I think it's not going to be as much triangle. I know they're talking about meeting in the middle, maybe 60-40, a little more.
Fisher, too, and they fired his ass.
I think Phil trusts Fisher, Hornacek a little more because it's a little more proven.
Yeah.
You know, Derek hadn't.
Because he's actually coached before.
That's what I'm saying. Because Derek Fisher hadn't coached. He had just got off. He was like, oh, I thought I was getting a call about what jersey number I was picking on the team. Oh, you want me to coach? You want my suit size? All right. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, you're gonna pay me $10 million a year?
Right.
Done. You know? Derek Fisher is the biggest, like, fuckboy coach in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, that wasn't it, man. I wasn't with that at all. I totally wasn't with
disaster.
That move. But I think he's going to give him a little more room to run because he's done it before. He's proven, you know, he almost got coach of the year that year. And, you know, he ran around and did a lot. And the one thing I keep reading from Phil is he's saying, yo, we were dead last in speed and pace and all that last season. We can't have that. Like, you know, as much as I want to pretend it's 1964 and play this old school game of – don't dribble the ball, just pass for 90 feet, and then somebody lay it up. I can't do that anymore because there's a kid named Steph Curry losing his mind.
Yeah.
There's a kid named Kyrie Irving who grew up dribbling a basketball in a plastic bag so that his handle could be as smooth as it is. Like, I can't play that game anymore. I have to get to that, and that's why he went and got a dribble penetrator and a running gunner like Derrick Rose and a Courtney Lee, who I didn't know could shoot as good as he shoots.
Yeah,
they
no,
say
Courtney
he's lights
good.
Out.
He's good.
They said or off the three, they say he's lights out. As I didn't know because I want a sniper, man. I'm like, yo, I need a sniper. I need a sniper on the corner and I need a sniper on the bench. Where's Novak? You know, like, I need a sniper, man. Like,
they could probably bring him back.
Oh, absolutely.
At this point.
Give me two snipers, man. One starting and one off the bench, and I'm happy. But you know, word on the street is that Courtney Lee is a sniper on the low. But, yeah, I'm super happy with what we did. You know, obviously the point guard situation gets funny once the summer comes, you know, after the season. Because if Derrick Rose cooks, you got to pay him. And are you going to pay him and then, God forbid, something happened and now you're stuck? Or are you going to pay him and it turns out to be the point guard of the future that we've needed? Because he's only 27. So you can get the next 6, 7, 8 years out of him. He's only 27. You know, you can get that
once
out of
again,
him.
Once again, a lot of miles on those knees,
man.
Though.
Yeah.
It is. But let's say, okay, I think he'll be 28 in next month, in October. So
but
not
you,
31,
you don't even
2,
want him
3.
For that many years anyway, because at that point, like, Melo's gone at the end of
right.
7
this
years
show,
from now. You know what I mean?
It's all about Porzingis, man. That's what I mean.
It is, but what I will say to that is that I think the harm is if you rush him along. And I think him and his team know that.
Okay,
the harm
yes,
is if you say, yo,
hold
dude,
on, hold on.
It's time for you right now to be the man, but you're only 20, but it's time. Yo, we're going to put the team on you every night. If you don't drop 25-8, we losing. Mm-hmm. We need you to take the last shot in the last 3 minutes of the game. We need all the pressure on you. Porzingis isn't ready for that yet. It doesn't mean he won't become that guy. He's not ready for that yet, and he knows it. He's the one who said, yo,
true.
I need Melo. I need these guys. I have no problem taking a backseat to Melo and Derrick Rose and even Joakim Noah because, you know, I'm 20. I've been away from Latvia for a year. Like, I'm not ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ready yet, but I will be. I will be. I think in three more seasons, Porzingis will be that guy. And ironically, I think that's when Melo's deal ends or whatever it is. So it all kind of times up
three
right.
Three seasons from now on Derrick Rose's knees is a lot. Derrick Rose is nobody's point guard of the future. Let's just get that.
Immediate future. Let me clarify
like next
that.
Week.
Six I mean, months.
not, okay, not future as in 10 years. But
let's get him to the All-Star break before we get real crazy.
You know,
man.
We good, man. We good. We acting like he's rolling out with wheelchair. We good.
He might be.
Oh, man. Come
hey,
on.
Hey, Derrick Rose is my favorite player in the NBA, like early Bulls.
Years. 5 years ago, yeah.
So,
oh, forget
I,
it.
I'm
he
a
was
huge
Russell
fan.
Westbrook
I,
before Russell
I'm
Westbrook.
I'm just saying
sure.
he's nobody's point guard of the future.
No, nah,
well, immediate future. I think we'll get more than a year out of him. If he cooks this year, I was talking to my man Anthony Donahue, and we were talking about having Derrick Rose re-sign two-year deals.
Oh, my God. The delusional Knicks fans, him and Anthony
what,
Donahue.
As opposed to saying, okay, because you know what's going to happen, right? Derrick Rose is going to cook this year, God willing. He's going to get busy, have a phenomenal year, and then he's going to say, I want the bag. I want 30
he's
a
been
year
saying
for 5 years.
Since last
he's been waiting for it.
Look
at the same way John Wall's been waiting for it. John Wall was pissed off at Reggie Jackson. He said, that guy got 80. He used to ride the bench. He used to come off behind Deion Waiters and Russell Westbrook.
Right.
That guy got 80? Oh, no. Nah, I'm wait till it's my turn. You see, Isaiah Thomas was like, when I'm a free agent, they're going to bring the Brinks truck out. I need it. So John Wall is, I mean, Derrick Rose is no different from the rest of them in that mindset where he's like,
mindset,
I'm
yes.
ready to cash
yeah.
out. You know what I mean? Yeah, mindset where he's like, I'm ready to cash out. So if and when he cooks this year, he's going to want 5 years, 30 mil a year. He's looking at Mike Conley like, I bust Mike Conley ass. I need to get paid. I need 30 mil, 5 years, 30 mil a year.
Yeah.
Do you do that or do you say, all right, we'll re-sign you for 2 years? And then if that works, we'll re-sign you for another 2 years. That way you're protecting yourself a little more, but you're still paying him. If you say, all right, D-Rose, we'll give you 25 a year or whatever it might be, because in this climate with the new TV deal, it doesn't hurt us as much as it might.
Right.
But let's do 2 years instead of five. Instead of giving you 100-something mil or whatever, 150 mil for 5 years, let's do 2 years at, 58 mil, chop that in half. Cool. And you keep re-signing them to two-year deals. I'm actually not mad at that because after the 2 years, there's no obligation. And if, God forbid, them knees get shaky, you can keep it moving. And you can call DC and get Abe's man John Wall down.
No, don't do that.
That's
don't do this
about.
To me. Right. On that note.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
Before we get up out of here, Scott, you got new music out, right, with Apollo Brown, correct?
Yeah, new album with Apollo Brown, The Easy Truth, comes out September 30th. Features from Joel Ortiz, Stally, West Side Gun, Conway, Patty Crash from The Roots. Super dope.
Real hip-hop shit. Yeah,
It's a fantastic album, man. We knocked it out. I went to Detroit. Shout out to Apollo, who's a Pistons fan. So they got a little something to, be excited about.
I was surprised at how high the Pistons were on this over-unders list, too. 45 and a half games?
Way too high.
Same as the Hawks, Pacers, Grizzlies.
I think they're overrated.
Pistons made the playoffs last year.
I love that roster, but full of fun dudes, but I don't know about 46 wins.
They've got like
over.
They've got a log jam at the three.
Yeah.
They got Tobias Harris and Stanley Johnson and who else is the
Caldwell Pope's like a big two.
Caldwell Pope. You know, and I feel like it may be one more, but they got a log jam at the three over there. I like Tobias Harris a lot.
We'll bring you back.
You see, I can do this all day, man. But yeah, but
nah, thank you, bro.
No
we appreciate you, man. Thank you.
The Easy Truth, September 30th, man. Myself, Apollo Brown. Shout to you guys.
Yeah, man.
A Pete. Adam, of course, Slam Magazine all day. You know how we do it, man.
Good looking, bro. Thank you.
Yep.